We continue our reading of the prophet Isaiah, coming to chapter 43. We'll begin today in verse 16. We'll continue to the end of the chapter. Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 28. Now, if you remember, this portion of Isaiah, starting in chapter 40, he's speaking into the generation that is in the exile, that's coming out of the exile, and that is being restored by God's grace to the promised land. And he describes it here in terms of a past great redemptive act, namely the passage of Israel through the Red Sea. And he says that that deliverance of the Jews from Babylon back to the promised land, it's going to be that kind of event. God's going to make a way supernaturally. And he makes reference here to the destruction of the army of Pharaoh as the waves fell back upon him. It reminds us when we read the great stories of the Old Testament, this is why we need to know them. They're not just things that happened in the past to a different people, but they're characteristic of the way that God saves his people. And so when you and I read in Exodus 14 about Israel, they had no hope. It was they were in a desperate situation, but they trusted in God and he parted the waters and he supernaturally made a way. We should say, that's the kind of thing I should expect. And it's all these things are true in Christ and of Christ, and they become true of us. And so when David slays Goliath, we ought to be able to say, first of all, I'm glad I have a David who slays Goliath, but then I, in him, am able to lead a life not of defeat and cowardice, but of courage and strength. This kind of logic's being applied here. Now, in this case, it is the return of Israel out of the Babylonian exile, and God will, he uses language, he's going to make a pathway in the desert. He's going to provide rivers that flow there, and he's going to provide for them. And yet the passage continues and says, even then, the people's heart will not be turned towards him. Even after that great deliverance, a little time would go by, and they would lose enthusiasm for worship. And God says, you didn't burden me with your sacrifices. What you actually burdened me is with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. One thing we find in the New Covenant, one of the differences between being a Christian and an Israelite in the Old Covenant is that that situation is not possible anymore. That's because of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The writer of Hebrews explains why the Old Covenant needed to be replaced with a New Covenant, because it did not apply the grace to the hearts of the people in regeneration. And so this wonderful chapter, Isaiah 53, is such a chapter filled with hope. It actually ends with God saying, you're just like all the previous sinners, I'm going to judge you too. And of course, that would be fulfilled when that generation would lead to those Jews who called out for Jesus to be crucified. And when the temple was destroyed in AD 70, it wasn't to be rebuilt again. Well, aren't we blessed to be able to say, I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me. And a true believer will not fall away, will ultimately, in fact, our passage today will talk about that. Our study of 1 John over several months showed that one who's truly born again must and will, by the grace of God, lead a life of worship. That should be our desire. We ought to have lives that says, oh, I want to worship God. I want to do his will. I want my life to be changing by his grace. I want to help that. And then verse 25 then speaks to us with such wonderful words. He says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. Well, what a blessing we have as all of this is fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Isaiah 43, beginning at verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quickened like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Yet you did not call upon me, O Jacob, but you have been weary of me, O Israel. You've not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings or wearied you with frankincense. You have not brought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue together. Set forth your case that you may be proved right. Your first fathers sinned, and your mediators transgressed against me. Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary and deliver Jacob to utter destruction and Israel to reviling. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God abides forever. Amen.